Welcome to the Wellness Summit 2023. I wanted to take a moment to thank Nadia Rose for the gracious and generous invitation to be an expert on this summit. My expertise is all things divorce. But before you change the channel, hold that thought. Sometimes relationships just need a bit of a reboot, but it takes a lot of expertise to get through it with grace and dignity. I'll introduce myself briefly. My name is Paulette Rigo. I'm the founder of Better Divorce Academy, the author of Better Divorce Blueprint, and I'm a credentialed mediator, a certified divorce coach, a certified divorce specialist, a certified amicable divorce professional, and the director of coaching and case management for Divorce Right, which is a company employee HR employee matching program benefit for employees going through divorce. Divorcing employees lose about 43% productivity, and many of them quit. So I'm that solution of problems that people have with all things relationship that may or may not lead to divorce. So my topic today is going to help you get a lot of clarity on knowing whether your relationship, your marriage, whether it be a legal binding contract with being a married partner or not, it still can have a lot of ramifications. So when you discuss with yourself or your partner, if your relationship is, on the rocks, at its wit's end, at a turning point, I could probably use about 400 more cliches, as they say. But every relationship runs a course, right? Sometimes they're when you meet and they're just beautiful and congruent and everything feels perfect. But sometimes, you know, we change, we grow, we mature, we kind of morph into hopefully a better, wiser, more sustainable, educated version of yourself. But what happens when your partner grows at a different rate or in a different direction than you? Well, sometimes that conversation or even the threat of divorce will come up in a relationship. And if you're just dating, and forgive the word just, but if you're in a long-term relationship, many states have common law marriage. And if you've been living together more than 7 years, listen up. This could also apply to you. It gets more complicated if you have children, minor children, or even children that are emancipated or over the age of 18 in most states. It can still linger because there's a bond that is forever connected. Once you have children and you bring children into the world together, you still have to co-parent and raise them together until they're adults. And what does that mean? Well, for some people, that would be 18. And I still know many couples or individuals that have children with adult children living at home. And not to go off on a tangent with that, but there's a responsibility that we have to raise children. And if the marriage or the relationship might break up, how does that affect the outcome of the divorce or the separating of the marriage or the relationship versus one that stays the course? So my goal here is not to convince you to leave your spouse or to convince you to file for divorce. But if you're here and you're listening to this masterclass, chances are this may run true to you and you may want to listen up. So with further guidance moving forward, I suggest you have a notebook and take a few notes because you may need them going forward. There will be a PDF attached, and stay tuned. At the end of my discussion here, you will also have access to a digital copy of my 307-page book, Better Divorce Blueprint, that also has a companion 197-page workbook that goes along with it. Every time I ask a question in Better Divorce Blueprint, I want you to stop and listen contemplate the question and take enough of me time to answer the question with curiosity and direction. It will give you a lot of clarity as to the litmus test and likelihood of your marriage being solvent. There are 21 major reasons why couples divorce, and you'll find them in Better Divorce Blueprint. But prior to that, let's step back, because relationships have everything to do with our wellness. If your relationship, your significant other, your primary relationship in your life is not going well, chances are the rest of your life may not also be going well. It affects every aspect of your life, your psychological, mental, emotional, physical, sexual, spiritual aspect of your life, as well as your financial life. And in the world of divorce, judicial, legal, residential, lending, any debt you may have, student loans, credit card, insurance, taxes, co-parenting, and don't forget that financial world that kind of bridges the two worlds together. With how do you separate the division of marital assets in an equitable way? Now, without having this become a walk down the path of that, many states are equitable division states and some are community property. I'm not an attorney. This is not legal advice, but I suggest that you do your research. What state do you live in? And what are the laws pertaining to your relationship ending in divorce? How do they affect you based on where you live? How long you've been married, if you have minor children? What assets and debt you may have? And is this a case for alimony? Now, we're going to step back way beyond all this nitty-gritty of me being a divorce, I don't want to say expert, but some have even said I have my PhD in all things divorce. Now, that doesn't mean that I have my PhD in the law. I'm not a judge, and I don't give legal advice, but I do know enough to get you to the right professional, particularly based on your situation. Now, you've got an overview of what may or may not be applicable to your situation. If you're starting to think about, if our marriage were to end, what might that look like? And how do I prepare and educate myself so that I can get through this with grace and dignity and not lose my shirt, or in a woman's situation, we like to joke that it's not lose your blouse, and still maintain a sense of endurance and strength and resiliency. It's very easy for many people to throw in the towel and just say, where do I sign? Okay, let's just be done with it. Because it's extremely exhausting and confusing, overwhelming to go through this. Prior to all that, you have to make a decision. It all starts with the decision. What is your desire? Is your desire to try to fix the marriage, save the marriage? I'm going to use the word transform the marriage, heal the marriage so that it can move forward in a healthy way, manner for both parties. Marriage is a two-way road, right? It isn't just a one-way street, as they say. It has to be a sense of give and take and ebb and flow. There's balance and there's a consideration for the feelings, needs, and goals and desires of your partner, but also are yours being taken into consideration? If they're not, this is a conversation you should engage in. I like to call this 15 questions to ask yourself before you ask for a divorce. Now, there may be more questions, but they mostly boil down to these top questions. This is a time to take contemplation into consideration quite seriously. You want to sit and write down the questions and explore the answers. Because if you're able to answer these questions wisely, you're going to be able to have the clarity and the resiliency to be able to get through this journey because you have an answer inside you. I can't do this work for you. When people work with me as a divorce coach, I always say I would get divorced for you if I could. I can't. It's not legal or ethical, but I can get divorced with you as your thinking partner, your sounding board, your expert BFF, that person that can listen with empathy, but not pass judgment. Keep your confidentiality sacred and allow you a gentle nudge to keep moving forward. Many times people get stuck in the fear of their relationship being uncomfortable, and they don't know what to do or who to trust or who to turn to. And with that, yes, it's a good idea to go to an attorney for understanding the law and getting legal counsel. But what about all the other aspects of your relationship, your bombardment of overwhelm and sensual, what you see and you hear and you taste and you touch and you smell? Everything's coming at you from all of these things, from memories to habits. If your partner has addictions or habits that are not comfortable, if there's any abuse in the relationship, all of your attachment to your labels. Our soul has this way of compartmentalizing all of these emotions, and those aren't any of the things that your attorney is going to be able to help you with. I also suggest that you have a really good therapist that can help you deal with the past as to how you got into this situation in the first place, because you don't want to ever repeat it again. First marriage typically ends, if it's divorce, likely in about 50% rate. If it's a second marriage, it might be as much as 60%. And going forward with a third marriage, you're talking 70 to 75% of marriages will end in divorce. So you can see how important it is to learn the lesson the first time. So let's go into the questions. These are a bit of a diagnostic filter that I ask you to consider. So grab your pen, grab your notebook, and let's write down the questions so that you can take some time to work through this masterclass with me now, but also going forward alone. And if need be, you know how to get in touch with me so I can help you gain the wisdom, the knowledge, the facts, the clarity, so that you know if your marriage is in fact one of those marriages that can be saved or should be, or if it's better moving forward with a divorce process. So, number one, if a divine or omniscient being told you that it was okay to leave your relationship, would you feel a sense of relief that you could finally leave? Meaning, if you had permission from some greater being that it was okay, it's all right to leave this relationship, how would you feel? Number one. Number two, in spite of your problems, do you and your partner have one positively pleasurable activity or interest that you currently share that gives both of you a feeling of closeness? Do you have one thing in your relationship that you love doing together? Maybe that's a hobby. Whatever that may be, do you have one? You're gonna need it. Number three, are you able to get your needs met in the relationship without too much difficulty? In other words, do you have to pull teeth to get any of your needs met? Number four, do you genuinely like your partner? And does your partner seem to genuinely like you? Love will only get you so far. You need to also like each other. as a person, as an entity, as somebody, as a being? Do you like them? Do you look at them with a sense of, honor and grace and go, wow, if I had to pick them as a friend, I would pick them. That's where we're going. You need to also genuinely like your partner. Number five, do you feel a unique sexual attraction to your partner? Do you feel any degree of strong or satisfying compatibility when you look into your partner's eyes? That's a big one. Sexual attraction. Number six, do you and your partner each respect each other as individuals? We sometimes think that when we got married, we're going to be attached at the hip, that we're going to do and think and say and feel and want all of the same things now that we're one. But that isn't necessarily possible or true. You still have to respect each other as separate people and as unique individuals. Number seven, do you and your partner want to touch each other and look forward to touching each other and make efforts to touch each other? Right? Do you, not even this, it has nothing to do with sexuality, although it could have to do with some intimacy. But do you like being next to each other? If you rub arms, do you go, ew? Remember back when you were young and you thought, oh, somebody had cooties? It's a sense of like, do you like being near them? And just even the smell of them and being near them. If not, there could be a problem. Number eight. Do you feel willing to give your partner more than you're already giving? Now, you may say, no, I've given everything. Sometimes we need to give a little more, sometimes we don't. But are you willing to give more time, energy, effort, appreciation, space, whatever it is? Are you willing to give a little bit more? Number nine. Are you willing to continue with the way things are between you now without any expectation for being paid back or anything changing? That's important to think about. Let's think about that in other words. If things stay the same and there's no change in behavior, are you willing to stick it out without any expectations for things changing? Number 10. Do you feel that your partner overall, and more often than not, shows concrete support for and a genuine interest in the things you're trying to do that are truly important to you? Give that one some thought. Number 11. Is there a demonstrative capacity and mechanism for genuine forgiveness in your relationship? Let's face it, we're all human. We all make mistakes, say the wrong things, and we need to be able to have the same capacity for our spouse. Now, this isn't to say that we need to excuse unexcusable behavior, illegal, immoral, etc. But if there's absolutely no capacity for genuine forgiveness in the relationship, it's certainly going to be hard to move through. Number 12. Does your partner serve as an important resource and camaraderie for you in a way that you care about? Meaning, are they that person that you go to for questions and answers and support? Do you feel like they've got your back and there's a sense of, go-to-itiveness where you know that if you've got a problem, if you need help, that they're your go-to person? If not, could be a problem. Number 13, does your relationship have a demonstrated capacity for compassion and empathy? Empathy is key. Now, without this going into how to divorce a narcissist, or if your partner is a high conflict, a personality disordered person, and this is not a diagnosis, they typically have a lack of empathy, a sense of entitlement, and they feel a sense of exploitation for others. You can think of those as the three E's. If they truly just don't have any empathy or compassion for you, or even the demise of your relationship, most likely they like it just the way it is. Number 14, do you and your partner laugh and have fun together? Do you ever have fun and just go like get that good belly laugh where you say, man, that was hysterical, whether it's watching a movie or going to a comedy show or just finding something truly ironic, funny, entertaining. You're going to need to find some humor in the relationship. You're going to have some fun together. And lastly, number 15, do you and your partner have mutual congruent goals and dreams for your future together? You need to have a sense of congruent core values and goals and desires. If you have none of them, it is going to be very difficult for both parties to feel as if the partnership, the marriage, the relationship has any value. So you might ask yourself, where do you go from here? If you've answered all of those in a negative manner, my goodness, I do hope that you will click and find me and make an appointment for a consultation because you're going to need some answers in your relationship. And if maybe one or two of them, that's normal. Not every relationship has to be flawless or perfect. In fact, I don't know one that is. But if you find yourself that, gee, none of them matter, I'm in good shape. Consider this a litmus test that your relationship and your marriage is on course for success. It may not always be. Relationships kind of run like the tide, and sometimes one partner has to pull their weight a little bit more than the other. But overall, how did you fare? Out of those 15 questions, did you have any of them? Maybe two or three, or seven or eight, or goodness, I hope the answer wasn't all of them. If you have more, take some time to assess that. Get some help from a therapist, a counselor, a certified divorce coach, and perhaps even getting the advice of if divorce is the answer, what might that look like? But I suggest that you do not engage in litigation, put down a retainer, and jump into a litigated case without really being prepared and organized, because it is going to cost a lot of money and take a lot of time, and it will likely damage your family dynamic. You have to be prepared and understand every aspect of the divorce journey. So I truly hope that this has been very helpful for you. My expertise in all things marriage, divorce, it is extremely important that you look at the health of your marriage because it is going to determine your mental health, your emotional health, your physical, sexual health, your spiritual health, your well-being as a whole. Sometimes our hormones, our adrenals, our stress just goes through the roof when our relationship is not able to be healthy. So I want to thank you for trusting me and listening to me because you might say, why would I want to listen to her? My relationship is fine. But I challenge you, don't be in denial. Now, this is not an invitation for your relationship to fail. It is a challenge for you to look at the health and well-being of your marriage. How is your marriage? Is it healthy? If it is, celebrate it, honor it, nurture it, take care of it, and don't take it for granted. Be full of gratitude and appreciate your spouse and let them know that you appreciate them. And if your marriage is not healthy, then by all means, do something to make it healthy. So my name again is Paulette Rego, Better Divorce Academy, author of Better Divorce Blueprint. I have a podcast, The Thriving in Chaos Journey, and I'm all over. So make sure that you have the support that you need. So until later, I hope to see you. Be well. Take care.